This is Steve Sherlock with another in the series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is number 131 in the series. This captures the audio recording of the Economic Development Committee, EDC, meeting held August 9th, 2017. The EDC Chair, Andy Bisanti, opened the meeting, and after some discussion on the two action items, with approval to bring them forward to the Town Council as formal proposals, the meeting adjourned. Worthy of note, there were additional councilors in the room when Council Chair Matt Kelly stopped by just before the meeting. Tom Mercer got up and left. Debbie Pellegrini remained. This becomes an item towards the end of the meeting when Debbie tries to ask a question. Per Peter Padula, a town councilor, not a member of the committee, can be present in the meeting as long as they do not take any active part in the meeting. They can only observe. If they take part, then their presence can raise a question on whether the council has enough members for quorum. As there were already four town councilors on the committee, Chair Bisanti, Padula, Valley, and Pfeffer, another participating town councilor would raise the participation to five, which is sufficient for a town council meeting. But this is an Economic Development Committee meeting, so that's where the issue comes up. Again, it came up briefly at the end of the meeting and then went away. So without further ado, here is the recording.
Okay. Ready to roll, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Time being 6:15, I'd like to open the EDC meeting for August 9, 2017. We have in the room with us Steve Sherlock from Franklin Matters will be recording. First item on the agenda will be the review of accessory building setback laws. And Jeff, take it away.
Well, thank you, Gus. Came up to us. Showing us there's an inconsistency in the setback for accessory building. In one place it says 10 feet, in one place it says 15 feet. So
it was worth.
So we thought it probably made sense to make it consistent. So we're proposing a 10 feet setback for everybody. If you want to go into a lot of detail, but
yeah, it's really the in the definitions we have one number, and in section 185.19 we have another number.
Right.
So the a proposed amendment, you would be adding in a few words that says in any zoning district, and eliminating the rest of the sentence to fix the problem.
So anybody shed in any district, as an example, would be 10 feet.
It would be all 10.
So rear side, rear inside, or?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions?
I have a question. So how have we been enforcing this in the past? You get 15 feet, you get 10, you get 15, you get 10,
well, when
12 for you.
I was going to say, I wanted 12
for curiosity. When I got my barn, I put it was 10 feet.
I don't know how Gus, he came to us and said,
Well, 15, inconsistency is good.
Right now, 15 feet is in general residential, 5, single family, 4, commercial.
Okay. Which is probably where a lot of this happens, right? I'm going to put a shed in my property.
Yeah, but it might be in residential 1, 2, 3, and 4. So in some places it was 10, in some places 15. And
so we're just going to make it consistent.
Right,
interesting.
That's all.
Okay. I'm going to ask that question to the building commissioner, how many is allowed at 10 and how many at 15.
Okay.
Maybe you can just present that to us.
He's going
to
say all of them.
Yes, yes.
But he's on vacation, so. But if there's no issue, we'd bring it to the council in the future.
Do I hear a motion?
So.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item on the agenda is to discuss New Styles RFP.
So, as you know, this has been a long-standing issue with the town, and Brian and I got thinking about the idea that why don't we, so if you look at Lot 22, which is the land that the town of Franklin owns, where the old New Style Big Factory is and where the collapsed factory is on the map, we'd like to, in lieu of spending $300,000 cleaning up, doing our try, at least we thought we had nothing to lose, try to put it out to bid for $100 with the caveat that, you know, you have to, if you buy it, you have to clean it up in accordance with all DEP and EP regulations, demolish the building within a certain time and clean up the site. And we figured, you know, it'd take us 3 months to do that, and maybe if you get somebody that wants to buy the property and take on that responsibility. If not, we tried, and so I thought we'd run it by you guys and think, to see if you wanted us to bring it to the full council as a suggestion. And, you know, we could draft the RFP for review, obviously, and a vote by the full council, but it might be a way to that someone wants to get more land, and versus us spending 4 more years, and you know how long it's been, and lots of money, and then sell the land for to get back what we invested.
Chair recognizes Peter Padula.
Yeah, so if we did spend the $300,000, that means there's other monies coming in to clean this up too, right? Some federal monies?
No, we got
just the $300,000?
Well, no, I mean, the EPA denied our grant, and with the new administration, in all due respect, we're not hopeful there's going to be a lot of funding out there in the future.
Yeah, we can reapply in the future
apply,
if this doesn't work, but it's
but
worth
so
it.
It's all on us for the $300,000, but it's
well, I mean, that was
these.
An estimate from how many years, a couple of years
well,
ago.
Well, actually, the estimates to do it the way the federal government wants it done by a town, municipality, and, you know, reveal all the rates and everything, it's closer to $350,000.
But if a private...
And that was two-year-old prices.
And the private sector person doesn't have to pay prevailing wage. They don't have to go through all the public bidding laws to do all this, so they can, so they might be able to do it much cheaper and still accomplish the same.
No, I get it. So the quick question is, if we put $350,000 into it, what's this worth? Obviously less than $350,000? Is that the bottom line?
It might be worth $275,000 if it's, you know, but it's got restrictions.
It could be a buildable lot, but it's going to have a lot of restrictions because...
Near a river.
Chair recognizes Judy Ferrell.
I don't understand how we, the town, can take a piece of property that we know is contaminated and put it out for an RFP and sell it for a small amount of money, expecting that whoever's going to buy this, and they're going to look to buy it at cheap money, is going to be responsible then for the fact the property is contaminated and clean it.
Because that would be a condition of
the sales.
I don't see how we can walk away from it.
You can still sell a contaminated property, but it has to be a cash deal.
They'd have to put a bond up. They'd have to put certain guarantees in the RFP so that if they didn't complete it, then somebody else would. So
I don't see how the town can walk away from it without them having to come back against the town further down the road. I mean, this is well-known piece of property that's
right.
been contaminated. Every time it's been tested,
correct.
The contamination
yeah.
moves through the property.
People are buying contaminated properties, though, Jim. People buy them all the time.
The other thing that a private property owner buys this and fixes it up, they can get tax credits that we can't get to fix a brownfield site because they didn't create the site. So, you know, maybe they can get half their money back through federal tax credits that we wouldn't get. So maybe they can clean up the site for a net $150,000.
And it's still not paying prevailing wage. It's not even addressing that.
So,
I understand, but the person that's looking for this property does not have the wherewithal.
We don't know. I mean, if anybody's looking, we just want to put it out to bid.
Well, there is one person who's interested in the property. They do not have the wherewithal or the income or the money available to do what needs to be done with this piece of property.
They wouldn't bid.
And then you don't even know if it's going to be clean. Because we've gone into this property for years and years and years and gone in for a cleanup. And every time, it's never been clean. It always comes back.
Yeah. But just as far as the cleanup is concerned, the majority of this site we've had over 500 tons of contaminated soil removed already. The area where the building is itself, we haven't assessed under it because it's unsafe to put wells and everything in that area. So the building has to come down, wells have to be drilled, assessment is done in that area. If some soil, maybe 20 tons or something is removed or something like that, that's expected that something like that's going to be happening. The building after that, you'll have to finish up, the owner at that time would finish up the phase 2, phase 3 documentation for the state to close the site out, and they get a bill of health that they can be used for certain purposes. There will likely be restrictions that you're not going to be able to, it's zoned anyway, but you're not going to have daycare or anything in that area. You just can't do that. You're going to end up with a parking lot and maybe a small commercial building on the lot. So for that type of use, it will clean it up, clean up the site, it'll get off. We
off
do have, the liability does follow the town to a point. There's no doubt about that. We because in the chain.
It's in perpetuity. No matter what happens, even if we clean it up and sell it, we're still in the chain.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So that doesn't change anything.
Right. So that there's no doubt about that. That we took the property for lack of taxes, if you will, and we are stuck with the liability to a point on that property. The ideal situation is to get it to somebody, and within 5 years, they close it out with the state, and it has essentially a clean bill of health for certain purposes. And at that point, our worries are gone for the most part, because the state has to approve the.
I'm sure that what you're saying is correct, but we've been dealing with this property for about the past 15 to 20 years, and every time we've had it inspected, it's never been cleaned.
I understand.
So I can't imagine how in 5 years from now, somebody else coming into this property, all of a sudden everybody, the federal government and the state are going to sign off on it.
Right.
You know, I think if you want to put it up for an RFP and sell it, but who in their right mind is going to buy this piece of property and invest all this money in it and then get a little small commercial building that you won't even get any money back on?
She recognizes Peter Padula.
So I think it's a great idea that if we can get someone to purchase this thing and clean it up. There's only a couple things I remember from environmental law. Do trees have standing? And I think that they may. And number two, this thing called downstream liability. So everyone that touches title, you need to understand, anyone in that chain of title is on the hook. So that when this other party comes in, if we can put the appropriate measures in place, and I'll be careful to watch to make sure that we do, and I'm sure that our staff will do a good job with it and we'll, you know, follow up.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's on the hook. So this person coming in, they're on it. Everyone down the chain.
I was just going to say that we just create another line of defense. It's not going to make us, you know.
They buy it, they're on it. So the bottom line is, I wouldn't let you give me this piece of property if it were me. If I have no intentions on cleaning up, because I'm in the chain now.
Right.
So I think it's a great
idea. It's going to probably have to be a cash deal. No bank's going to want to finance it.
Well, that kind of money.
When you say a cash deal,
We need to make it competitively priced.
I'm thinking $100.
Okay. I was just going to say, you're going to practically have to give it away.
I mean, not to obviously talk to people, but I mean, if we have to invest $350,000 of our own money,
right,
and then sell it for $275,000, what's its current value?
I agree.
So yeah. I thought maybe we go no bids at all, but it was worth a try.
Yeah.
And if nothing happens, we'll have to come up with the money. And again, if someone can do it in the private sector, can absolutely do it cheaper than we can do it. And number two, if you can get a tax credit that the town can't get because we're not a profit organization, you can probably do it for half the cost that we're going to do it for. But
theoretically, there could be a buyer out there for the right price, if it's even like if it's a dollar, and that. If that's going to be his home, I mean, not his residence, but I mean his business home, and he's not planning on selling it ever again, and that might work for him. He won't have to worry about selling it, and then, but.
So my thought was.
I would love to see it.
If you
want to
do it, we would draft a RFP for review, but we're not going to do that if folks don't think it's a good idea. We're not going to go spend 20 hours writing an RFP.
To me, this is like. Been radioactive to the town. Not that there's any radioactivity there, but I'm just saying.
Literally,
there might be.
I mean, we sold the other piece, but.
I'd like to get this off the Franklin books. I know we'll still be on the title chain, but I'd rather see someone in front of us on the title chain.
Well, on the title chain across the river.
Yeah.
There's a couple wells still there. But
the contamination has gone underneath the brook.
That's very true.
I thought I heard somebody wanted to buy this.
Somebody does.
Okay.
You already have 500 tons of soil removed.
Yeah,
that's a good start.
From where the 22 is and the E.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That whole green area was all dug up.
Wow.
Yeah. Over near the road, we had a lot of lead. That was all.
And you know, if you look at the estimate we have, the cost of demoing the building and actually shoring up the abutters' property was $150,000.
To shore up the property and all of that, yeah. To demo itself, $100,000. That's if the building next to it was in good shape. So we have a where it's buildings attached to it.
It's got
butter,
asbestos in it.
That has a big crack down the back of the building. It's not our fault. However, if we take our building down, damage to the adjacent building.
So we had to shore that.
So all these issues cost everything you touch is going more and more and more money. It's worth a shot, I think, to get it out there. And the big part is the 50% tax credit for private ownership. We can't touch that money.
Is there an assessed value on this, Jeff, right now?
Yeah, it's like 280 and something like that. But, I mean, I was, and then they had the building, but they're going to, I said, Kevin, the building's not worth $40,000. You need to update your record. It's worth zero.
You have $5,000 in scrap money.
So he was going to, he had it at 320 plus or minus, but, you know, if it was a buildable clean site on Grove Street and there was no other impediments, it would have a pretty good value.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, but.
It's owned industrial?
No, it's business.
It's a business one.
Right. So, but it's not obviously a clean site.
No.
I mean, right now, it has no value.
That's significant.
It has no, there's no Arm Lakes transaction value to this property right now.
So, were you serious when you said you want to price it reasonably to get?
Well, I think you have to figure out, I mean, if someone, you know, if they sit down and come up with a value, but no one's going to pay 200 and then spend 200 more.
I don't think they're going to like the assessed value either that they're going to have to pay taxes on, so.
Well, but that.
Can they evade
I
am, that?
But I just, you know, I think we have to ask the assessors what the real value is. I think that number's been just stuck there forever. You know, they don't look at, you know, sometimes they don't look at things.
Okay.
On every single parcel, they adjust everything up and down.
I mean, you could give it away, you still have to pay all that money in taxes if you give some.
Remember, and the assessment's also being built based off the location of this land as well. Pretty good location.
Any other questions? Yes.
The person that's going to come in and want to purchase this.
Sorry, Debbie, you can't participate in the meeting.
I can ask a question as
a
resident.
No, you can't. You can't say anything, Deb. I asked this question. You can't even, you're not even here. You're just sitting there observing. If you stop participating, it becomes a quorum issue.
Right.
You can't ask anything.
Even though I'm not on the committee.
Nothing. Zero.
Right.
Nothing. You can't ask.
Right.
If you're on the committee, that's obviously a world of difference. But,
yeah.
You know, so.
I'm sorry, Debbie.
I had to fight to get that. I was going to come in the room. I had to fight to get this to make sure. So you're here because.
Any other questions?
I know.
So what's the recommendation here?
Well, I'm asking if you want us to develop an RFP for the full council's consideration.
I make that motion.
And then, because when if the majority of people said it wasn't a good idea, then we wouldn't spend the time.
What, are you going to put a price on it?
Well, we're going to have to figure all that out.
There's very little value right now.
Try to give it away.
So if somebody gave you a dollar for it, your best interest is give it away. It really is. So I don't know what the dollar value actually would be, but if somebody's going to bite on that, it doesn't matter. The money is.
You can do a value range on it.
It saves us money. We get taxes.
Well, we're going to do an RFP probably, so it won't be. You know, you put a minimum price, but it's not going to be.
Yeah, the RFP is going to be based on. Not necessarily the dollar.
It's going to be the cleanup.
It's going to say, okay, we agree to
these
certain things, and
all
we believe
other
that the impact on the neighborhood will be whatever, and you actually rate it. If this, we may not get any more than one, or we may not get any bids, but if you get three, then you have a way to rate them and
sure
compare
will.
The
I mean,
proposals.
You'll take some tests.
I mean, we got a stack of documents this high that anybody can look at.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I make a motion that we move forward with.
I hear a motion from Peter Padula to move this forward.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. So we got
the ayes have
motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
This brings the recording of the Economic Development Committee, EDC, meeting held August 9, 2017, to a close. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you like this, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008 and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.